What's up, founders, and welcome to the In Demand podcast, where we talk all about how to troubleshoot growth for your PLG SaaS. I'm your co-host, Asia Arangio, the CEO and founder of Demand Maven.
And I'm Kim Talarczyk, client services manager at Demand Maven, where we help SaaS companies reach their toughest growth milestones.
All right, Kim, let's get into it. Okay, so I really wanted to talk about my first 90 days. So I'm coming up on my first 90 days as fractional CMO. Mm-hmm. And for context for everyone listening, I started with a company called Offering Tree. I think I'm comfortable saying who it's for. And the only reason why I'm cautious is because whenever I take on a new fractional CMO role or project, I guess, depending on how you see it, I really want to make sure it's the right fit. And I usually have a strong, super strong sense of that in the first 90 days. So I'm always hesitant to be like shouting from the rooftops, oh, I've joined as fractional CMO until the 90-day mark has happened. Mm-hmm. And I joined mid-February. And then March happened, April happened, and now we're in May. And yeah, I just wanted to talk about what my process has been, my approach has been, and then any questions that come up for me as I talk about that. Because yeah. On the one hand, I feel like it would be interesting to CEOs and founders, but it's also a little bit like a diary of like, I want to look back on this and be like, oh, that's how I was doing it. Lol, that was terrible. Or actually, that was kind of low key good. So anyway.
Yeah. So I guess let's start with what was your general approach going in?
Yeah. Okay. So when I think about what a CMO does, and there are many different, I think, types of CMOs at different levels of the organization. But when I think about what does CMO mean for a company like Offering Tree, which is a earlier stage company, been around for a minute, but really, I think, you know, they just took a round of funding. And what I really wanted to come in and really understand and make sure and wrap my arms around was, do we have the right people in the right seats? Do we have clear processes and ways to accomplish the work? Do we have an understanding of what the right work is, aka strategy? And also some of the more tactical behind the scenes things, like, do we have a solid budget in place? How, like, what has our past investments looked like? What has our past performance looked like? And making sure I really understand and get the lay of the land of, okay, here's what the marketing function as a whole looks, feels, and operates like. And now, what parts of that marketing function need to adjust in order to help us accomplish the goals that we have set for ourselves? Mm-hmm. And so when I first joined, I think the first 2 weeks were just getting access to everything, all of the different tools and folders and like artifacts and just stuff, like all the marketing stuff. And there's usually some graveyard somewhere of past personas bygone, you know, we wrote these 3 years ago, or here's an artifact from, yeah, go ahead.
Were you reading all of those, everything?
some of it, yes, not all of it. And part of it is just information overload. But the other part of it is like how, you know, there's a certain skepticism I think that most people have when they join a new team. And that's like, how much of this is actually still relevant and how much of it is not? And the team was clear to me that not all of it was going to be still relevant, but it's helpful to know maybe, you know, where we came from and where we're going.
Yeah. And you're getting a sense of what does exist.
What exists, what's here. And then also from like a performance perspective, access to all the different platforms and understanding and digging into, okay, how does this system talk to this system? Are these two things integrated? What are we measuring? What are we tracking? How are we defining those things? So for example, every company has their own language for what a trial means. And now from like a technical perspective, what's the event that goes with that, or a set of events or a criterion or whatever? And then where and how and where are we tracking all those things? I mean, to put it simply, it's people, processes, tools, and data. That's really what I'm digging into.
And, yep. And you're not actioning on anything.
No,
yeah,
not really.
You're just learning what exists, how it connects.
And I say wrapping my arms around things to indicate that's me, like, I'm trying to understand this. Mm-hmm. And at some point also guide it and really direct it and make sure that it's going in the direction that I think is most necessary to help us, again, accomplish whatever the objectives and goals are. That was probably the first 2 weeks, and it just was downloading all the information, and I usually have a scratch pad of all of the things that I'm observing. And the way that I wanted to approach this was I wanted to have some semblance of, okay, here is the lay of the land in some type of artifact, meaning here are all the programs that we're running, here are the channels that we're executing on, and within each of those programs, here are the specific channels for that particular program. But in general, here's what the lay of the land looks like. Here's who the team is, what their roles are, what they're responsible for today as it stands. And then finally, performance areas. So within each of those channels and or programs, understanding what is the performance of all of them. And by that process alone, again, this is like 2 to 3 weeks, easy, especially if you're fractional. It just gets eaten up so quickly and it goes fast. By the end of that first month, there were two artifacts that I really wanted to make sure were very clear for everyone. The first was, what's the strategy? And very specifically outlining, here are our objectives. And of course, there's a lot of back channeling too with executive leadership, especially the CEO, because there's a budget that we have to keep in mind. There's also a lot of past performance, and he is really acting as CFO and he's acting as chief revenue officer. So he understands, and as he should, all of the metrics and KPIs that go behind the performance of the business from a financial and revenue perspective, but also on the marketing attribution side. And we're digging very deep into what these numbers mean. And he's giving me context for how things have been managed thus far and reported thus far. And also, there was a head of marketing in place. She actually left, I want to say, like a month after I started. But we didn't know that that was going to happen. That was, unfortunately, a surprise. But a lot of it, too, was making sure I was coordinating with the head of marketing on, what does everything mean and exactly where is everything? But as I'm doing this analysis, I'm also taking notes in the background of, okay, here's a gap. I want to make sure that I need to verify if that's a gap. And if it is a gap, then that's something to document as, here's something to think about closing. Here are the more painful gaps that we're experiencing, things like maybe low conversion rates or maybe an overinvestment in a particular area, either financially or resource-wise. Maybe we're not seeing the ROI out of certain programs that maybe we should be, but also here are some high ROI programs that we're not investing enough in. And so I'm really trying to look for gaps across people, processes, people, processes, tools, and data, and also looking for gaps across just like performance itself.
And do you feel like you were able to catch, let's say, all the gaps or all the opportunities, or was that your ultimate goal?
No, because like gaps reveal themselves over time also.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's possible to see all of it at once.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was, what are the most mission critical things? And if you had to boil it down, like you could look at it like, what are the short-term wins and what are the long-term wins? But I think that's actually too simple. That might be simplifying a bit too much, because I really do think that there are some gaps that are just extremely high priority, such as you have a low website conversion rate. I'm not saying Offering Tree has this, but let's just say maybe your website conversion rate's really low. All the traffic you're getting, maybe you convert 0.001% of that into a trial. That is a like raging hot gap. Oh my goodness, that is high priority and that is a problem, because if we are spending money on generating traffic and we're not converting it, we're setting cash on fire. So I'm looking for those, where are we setting cash on fire moments?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me, you could term that as a short-term win, but that doesn't indicate to me the priority or the pressure that comes with fixing something like that. So I'm looking for what are our setting cash on fire in the front yard moments? And then what are the things that are certainly a problem, but it might not be as high impact right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe lower impact and potentially lower priority, but it is still a gap. And it's something that we should not turn a blind eye to. It will rear its ugly head at some point. It'll make our lives very difficult if we don't address it. And then there are the things that are like, like you can kind of think of them as like nice to haves. This would be nice, but it would create a positive impact, but it's definitely not the highest priority thing. And then I go into more of an opportunity space, and that's more of the, it does sometimes border on what's ideal, but here's where our opportunities lie of these are things that we could leverage and add to our repertoire, or I hate to say take advantage of, but these are the things that could serve a very positive purpose for us. And moving into the opportunity space is really interesting because it usually depends a lot on what you see in the market and also just like what you see in your team. What could we become? Where could we go? And this could correlate to vision and other things. But really that first 3 weeks is like what's on fire and what's cash burning.
The opportunity space, is that, did that happen later or did that happen in the first month?
I think it's over time. But I do think that my mission also was to kind of sit down and say, okay, but here's what we could be leveraging or taking advantage of that we're not. And it's just a matter of maybe realigning certain things. So an opportunity could look like, for example, there's a huge opportunity for us in the content marketing space to provide value around specific types of segments and specific problems that those segments are having. And we were creating a lot of content and it was great content, but we had this opportunity to align it even closer to what our customers actually really cared about and also were actively struggling with. And it's not to say that we weren't already doing that. It was just maybe a little too top of the funnel, like still worthy things to talk about, but we could actually, our opportunity was to bring things maybe more middle of the funnel and to build out more middle of the funnel and bottom of the funnel content. And then there's also, we might have an opportunity to run a new or different program. So they had never done ABM before, for example. That's an opportunity. Like we could absolutely execute something like that. So those are the types of things of what could we do that would be amazing, totally in alignment, but we're either resource constraint or maybe it's just we've not been priority. Like we've not made it a priority, mm-hmm. Either because we didn't know how to do it or other things got in the way or whatever. So that's kind of where I'm also like, what could we do? And that, you know, again, that would help us bring us closer to goals, align with the vision of the company or whatever the mission is or values, et cetera, et cetera. And I should have a strong sense of that by the end of the first month, but I won't have all of them because opportunities, again, just like gaps and opportunities, I think surface over time. I don't think you're going to know all of them.
Yeah.
But I think within that first 3 to 4 weeks, like we should know generally what they are. So the first artifact that I built two at the same time. The first was the marketing strategy that would take us through the rest of the year. But I think when I first built it, I think it was actually just through the next 2 quarters with the point to update it after I got more context and like vision for, okay, here's what reality looks like. And now we can take it through the next 1 to 2 years.
Yep.
So this is a living, breathing document. And then the second artifact was the CMO's mandate, which basically just said, when I think about my role, here's what I'm digging into. Here's what I see for the company. Here's what I see for the team. Here's how to work with me. And it's not strategy, but it is like strategic vision in a way. But it's also a little bit of like role defining. So yes, I'm going to get into team and hiring and processes. Yes, I'm going to get into management. Yes, I'm going to get into brand. Yes, I'm going to get into demand generation, product marketing, et cetera. So I have a very clearly defined area called, or a section called areas of focus. And it just highlights, here's where I'm going to be spending my energy. No one be surprised by me digging into these things. or depending on who the leader is for that particular thing, let's be prepared. Just be prepared for that because I don't want to catch anyone off guard. And they're like, what is AJ doing? But it's these are the territories that I'm going to be investigating.
And who's supposed to read that CMO mandate?
Honestly, everyone. But the people who would, the most critical would be, of course, the CEO and then my marketing team. Like those would be the most critical folks. But I did share it with all of the executive leadership. And it's funny because actually I should check in. I actually don't know how many of them like reviewed it. But I know the CEO was very dialed into it. And then the team was too, because they're getting a new leader and they're like, who is she and what's she going to do? And is she going to move my cheese and what's going to happen? So I imagine I'm anticipating like there probably are a lot of questions. And the CMO's mandate is a way to just kind of, you know, soothe some nerves a little bit, calm any anxiety, but also give people a slice of my brain a little bit of here's how I'm thinking about this and here's where I think we're going to go.
Yeah. And I've seen in the past people, like that's a meeting people have. I like that you created, this is an artifact. This is a document because it can be referred back to. It's more than just the speech that you give when you start. Yeah, I can see the value in that for across the organization.
Yeah. It's so funny because I considered doing like a deck. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, you know, I love a deck, but I also love a document too. And I leaned more towards the doc because it felt more grounded somehow.
It's more for the people.
Right.
It's not your lofty deck.
I agree. And I love a slide deck, but it just feels more concrete and real when it's on paper. And this is like my constitution, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking it very seriously. And I hope everyone else does too, the work that we're doing here. And I think, it gives an async way to just get inside of my brain without necessarily having to attend a meeting and like trying to parse through words. I know I'm not necessarily always the best like listener. So sometimes a fancy CMO comes in and they're like waxing poetic about something. And I'm like, I've already zoned out. But I feel like a doc is, I don't know, just a little bit easier to digest in my opinion. And I don't even think I presented it. I think I sent over a Loom. I think I recorded a Loom and I sent it over to the team.
Yeah.
I'm banking on them being curious, and they were, and I got really good feedback on it. So I think that was the right thing for this team in the end. Yeah. But everyone's going to have a different style, obviously.
Yep. Okay. So now you're at about the month mark.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about some opportunities that were the key, the priorities more are happening over time. Mm-hmm. So now what does month two look like?
I feel like month two was really all about getting the right people in the right seats. So we needed to find a paid ads agency, and we also needed to find someone to really own SEO and content marketing to an extent. Although, of course, we're still going to do other content marketing outside of the SEO work. So there's also making sure that I understand what are all the work paths, meaning not just processes, but like how are things currently getting executed and who is actually doing that execution? And then there's also like, how are we deciding what work needs to get done? There was also a very big, huge investment of time on getting the budget straight and making sure our goals were very clear. So after this strategy document has been created, part of that exercise, and there was some overlap, I think, between, you know, the first month and the second month, but a huge overlap that happened was making sure our OKRs were clearly defined. And now we had the right OKRs. Now, it's interesting because hindsight is always 20/20. There were some things that happened that made some of our OKRs now relatively obsolete. Things that we probably could have predicted a little bit better, but I'm a month and a half in and I don't know what's normal quite yet, if that makes any sense. So it's almost like I came in the middle of the quarter anyway, which is always hard. So the OKRs that we already had set, you know, I'm not going to come in and do away with them. But that did mean that I've got a month-ish under my belt. So now we've got to define new OKRs, knowing that it's probably not going to be like absolutely perfect the very first time that I at least do it. So with that in mind, there was also a lot of budgeting and projections that we had to get through as well, because I realized, we have this budget. The CEO is also CFO. And so he's got a particular way of managing this. And so they always say that like the CMO and the CFO should be besties. And that's the ideal scenario, at least. And my very first, like the second month was really, again, it was really like month one and month two, but it was really like, I really got to understand how the budget is working and also the actuals, like the financial actuals on that side. Where are we spending everything? And then how are we measuring the return on these things? And that feeds into our projections. So the reason why I need to understand that is so I can project, okay, based on past performance and based on what we've seen before, here's how many customers I think we should be striving for. Here's how many trials that we should be getting. Then there's also, you're using that data. And I feel like this is a topic that we will talk about at some point. But there's forecasting, budgeting, and planning. Mm-hmm. And forecasting is where you think you're going to go financially. Budgeting is, here's how much we have that we can spend based on cash on hand and potentially also expected cash. And then there's planning, which is, we want to get to X million. We're at Y million now. What's the delta between those two numbers? And now what do we have to hit to achieve that? Which is different than forecasting, because forecasting is basically, here's what I think we're going to get based on past performance. It's not, here's the target. Now, how do we get to the target? It's a different mindset.
Does the forecast then play into future budget months?
Yes. Forecast and budget, I think, are closely connected. But it's interesting because planning is a different exercise altogether, I find, because it's based on like current, I'd say it's based on reality, because a lot of it, I mean, technically it's all based on reality in some way. But planning to me is like you're backing into things as opposed to projecting into the future what you think will happen. And so budgeting is a little bit like that too. Although I will say, if a company has taken funding, then really what you're budgeting is your cash on hand. And certainly expected revenue comes into that. The cool part about SaaS is that you probably have annual plans, for example. So there's some amount that you should, in theory, expect to get. And budgets can include some forecasting, but it's also, of course, there's different scenario planning too. Your budget changes based on the scenario that you're in. So if you make a lot of cash or a little cash or bukus of like tons of cash, then you will probably budget differently based on all those different scenarios. So forecasting and budgeting, lots of energy spent there. And then I think the most energy actually was spent on the planning side, which was, here's where we're at. Here's our target. How do we back into these goals? Which it's a different mental exercise. And it was interesting because I realized that I had a different perspective of this than my CEO, who's also wearing the CFO hat. And so as CFO, he's thinking forecasting and budgeting, and probably really more budgeting than anything, because I got to manage this cash as a good steward of the company. And I'm thinking all of those things. And okay, now we've got to hit this target. So now how do we back into that? Which is so hard to explain until you're looking at a spreadsheet and then you're like, oh, I get what he's just saying, maybe. And I realized, oh, I've got to show maybe the CEO how I'm thinking about this. And that was a lot of back and forth and a lot of I think it took like a solid 2 to 3 weeks, actually, just to like make sure we were on the same page about these things. And then, you know, it's funny because a day or two would pass and he'd be like, oh, actually, I just realized we forgot this variable. And it's like, oh, okay, let's go back and crunch the numbers again. And so it was a lot of back and forth. And then we landed at a place where we're like, okay, this is what we think we have to accomplish this year. And this is what we think we're going to have to accomplish next year, again, to accomplish our whatever million ARR goal. And it was a lot of fun. It was also like, it was stressful in a different way, but it was just because you don't know what's actually going to happen. Knock on wood, but like another pandemic could happen and change, like, you know, suddenly the plan goes out the window. So there's just so many variables that you really can't predict, and you don't know how it's going to happen. That's the most stressful part to me about the planning process. But at the same time, it's usually very energizing because it's okay. All right. If this is the plan, this is now the mindset that I have to have. So when I go back to my team, I know how to restructure them. I know how to focus them. And I know also what we need to add and what we might need to reduce. So what programs should we be adding? What people should we be adding? What activities should we be adding? But also what existing things are out there already that we should be taking away or reducing or maybe not spending as much time on.
And so was it important that you had the marketing strategy doc, that artifact?
Yes.
Complete before you did this budgeting and people work?
Yes. And I will say it's such a fluid process that I probably needed to do the financial part first, actually. But at the same time, I'm actually glad I did it the way that I did it, because I don't think I would have had enough context for where everything was.
And that's what I was thinking as well, because then it's almost then once you have more concrete numbers, you're still obviously you're backing into that strategy a little bit, and things obviously can tweak. But
yeah,
it seemed like you, like, from all the everything that you looked over and basically the audit that you did for the first 2 or 3 weeks, it's like you sort of were able to set like a vision and some opportunities.
Yeah, definitely.
And have that context, and then obviously right. make more concrete plans and priorities.
And I think the financial planning side of it too, or at least like the planning side on, we have this goal now financially. Now, how does that now translate to marketing? I'm actually glad that I had the strategy relatively in place, at least for the next couple of quarters, because so much is already set, like from a project's perspective anyway. And also there's certainly things to kind of pivot more towards. Ideally, within 6 months, like, we've made significant progress towards the ultimate, like, vision for the marketing function that I've set in place. But the numbers wouldn't have meant as much to me, I think, if I hadn't have already done a lot of that process. Now, it wasn't finalized, but because again, there was overlap. A lot of this was kind of in tandem. But
yeah, and they're running marketing. You're coming in, and the right. marketing function exists.
Exactly. The marketing is marketing. They're doing stuff. A lot yep. of stuff constantly.
A lot of great work was happening.
Yeah. Like, a lot of things were happening. And so, like, really the next 2 quarters, I mean, they weren't finalized, but a lot of it I could predict already. Oh, okay. And we can get ahead of a lot of it too, which was great. But yeah, I think if I hadn't have had that perspective before going into the financial part of it, the numbers wouldn't have landed, I think, in the same way to me.
Yeah.
And it also made it more clear. Like, we have a very clear trials goal, and we have a very clear customers goal, and we have a very clear ACV goal. And now we're really formulating what's our super clear CAC goal, or even like cost per trial goal. And, you know, we have an LTV to CAC ratio that we're trying to make sure that we maintain. And all of that, I think, just meant not more, but more. It was more grounded, I think, in, oh, okay, these are the activities that are happening on the marketing side and how they translate to those things. Got it. And then after that, it was a lot of process optimizations. One of the first things I noticed was we didn't really have, okay, so everything was spread out in Google Drive. And I think that there were certain places where, yep, like, these are sources of truth, but there wasn't any real work hub. But I don't necessarily care how the team does task management. If you want to use Asana, if you want to use, like, whatever works for you, like, we're remote, like, whatever. But what I cared the most about was, let's get marketing under one umbrella, and we make sure we're linking to all of the artifacts and things that we're building. And then where it makes sense, we just build it into Notion. But that was, I think, one of the biggest things I wanted to wrap my arms around. And then also the second thing I really wanted to make sure that we had underway was a weekly marketing meeting that had a weekly cadence. And I think the thing actually next to do is planning sessions. So we really don't have any, like, planning cadence right now. That's another work path I got to figure out how to do in a way that is effective and efficient for everybody, because I would hate to put another meeting on the calendar, to be honest. But to me, it was like, okay, what are the most critical meetings that we need to have? And also streamlining a little bit the one-to-ones process. I was noticing we were meeting individually with individual folks when we could actually bring them all together, disperse information once, and you don't have to repeat the same thing to everybody. It's just, you know, all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with communication channels, like, how and where are we communicating about the work? I do care a lot about, like, the work management side of things, because when you have a remote team, I think you have to have boundaries for where things go, and when do you share something here versus here, and when do we have a meeting versus this just needs to go on Slack. And when you have ideas, where do you put that? Do you put that in Slack, or do you put that in a database in Notion? So that was the type of, I'm not sure what you would call it. I mean, I guess just like management. That was the type of management that I was really focused on.
Yeah, it's a little operational.
Very much the ops side. Because again, I'm looking for gaps, right? And one of the things I saw was we had process gaps.
Yeah. And other companies might not be something you're focused on, because maybe that was built, you know, and they had certainly certain things built, but you saw a gap of needing some tweaks in specifically how marketing communicated and met.
Totally. And I think after, so month two was a blend of things. It also, I think, was me really diving deep into each of the programs that we were running, are running, and really understanding what's its effectiveness and how can it be improved if it can be. And I also mentioned like putting the right people in the right seats. So a lot of that was driven by my analysis of each of the programs. So for example, paid acquisition, it was really clear that we needed a paid ads agency to run this that had experience specifically on the SaaS side. And also that had experience on the demand gen side, because I think the way that we were doing it before, there were just some really clear opportunities that we could be taking advantage of. And then also some configuration things that we were missing out on. And then I get into SEO. SEO is a very big focus area at one point because we have so much content. And I think strategically speaking, there's so much opportunity that we have to rank better for the keywords that matter the most to us. And I wanted to make sure, again, that we had the right people in the right seat. So hiring an SEO consultant was really, it was pretty mission critical. Paid ads and paid acquisition in general has been something that the company has been testing. And it's been interesting to kind of learn and see what are the opportunities here. And then on the SEO side, we know that that's a good and powerful channel for us. Let's continue to invest in it and figure out like what are the opportunities that we have. And then I want to say that was a mix of things, everything from like operations to making sure we've got the right people in the right seats, program analysis and making sure I understand that, a lot of the financial and budgeting and planning side of things. And then that translated into goal setting. And I want to say that that was month two. I'm actually, I don't say like getting my hands dirty, but I'm really like getting, I'm like rolling up my sleeves and I'm actually kind of really diving in and understanding things in a different way.
And then you started to talk a little bit about month three, which was, that was really when you, it was more about building out the Notion pages, the hub, the marketing hub and Notion. And month three now leads to almost where we are now, right?
So this is where a lot of it has been streamlining processes that I just hadn't wrapped my arms around quite yet. So like product marketing, for example. And then there's also team alignment and making sure that with the resources that we have, that we're putting the right resources in the right places. So some folks would just call this team management or management in general. Others might call this like business process optimization. I don't know. There's a lot of different things that you could call it. Resource management. But I've really been focused on, okay, who do we have on deck? How much capacity do we have? And are we spending, are we putting the right energy in the right places from here? And I also want to say too that it's been my mantra for the last month has literally been get executors executing. Like I've been saying that to myself literally every week. I need to get executors executing. So I'm creating a lot of briefs. I'm creating briefs specifically to align all of my executors and decision makers in one place. And it's a lot of decision making also from members on the team. So folks are coming to me to get feedback on certain priorities and things that they have. I'm kind of showing them, here's how to present information to me to get a decision quickly. And that's the type of it's like part coaching, but it's also like, again, I'm thinking process, how do we make this as optimized as possible and as efficient as possible so other people can be effective? And I've been keeping my eyes and ears open for that. But I've been like, I think my last month has been, I'm like realigning folks in some ways, managing them in others. But I'm really just now getting started on that, to be honest, like literally in the last week. And then I think the third is aligning people around like the work itself. So we're about to launch this product update in the platform. And we needed someone to take the lead on, again, aligning all the executors and getting them executing. And I feel like that's been my last month. And it's been, I feel like I've been drinking from the fire hose. Like this to me is the work, is the making sure people are clear on what needs to happen and that it's getting done and it is now being executed. We do have some resource gaps though. So that's the other thing too that I've been keeping my eye open for is since we've lost our head of marketing, there are resource gaps and execution gaps that we have. And so my job is to make sure that we're like those bases are covered in whatever way they need to be covered. And that's really where I feel like my energy has been, at least in this first 3 months. There's also, of course, the other random stuff that pops up. Like we had a board meeting, which I presented in. And I think also, too, this third month has also been really about aligning with other teams. So the first couple of months is me getting my bearings and kind of wrapping my arms around what my team is doing and how we're doing it and what we're doing and why. And now I'm finding myself, okay, now I'm interfacing more with product and I'm interfacing more with sales. And those are, I'm now working those relationships and making sure I understand what's expected of me, but then also, you know, how can we work together and help each other to accomplish the overall mission of the whole company? So that is something I'm prioritizing based on what I know is coming down the pipe. And then always keeping my eye to the next quarter, because I'm already like, I can feel Q3 being about this thing. Have a feeling we're going to tackle activation in Q3, because that would be the perfect time to do it. And my business coach always says, you know, 2 weeks, 2 months, and then 2 quarters.
Yeah,
I think was his, like, keep your eye 2 weeks out, 2 months out, and then 2 quarters out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, Q3 and Q4. I'm already feeling what that shape is going to take.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's where I've been.
What is beyond 90 days look like? Because a lot of the past 90 days has been the operational stuff, you getting immersed in the business. So what does it look like moving forward?
I think my focus is probably going to be on the how do we streamline things and how do we fill gaps? Because we do have some gaps. And there's also there are a couple of ships I need to pivot. Not a lot. But there are two, if I were to give it a metaphor, there's two ships I really got to pivot. And I've got to get everyone aligned in that new direction. And it's going to take time. And again, like my job is not to execute the actual work. It's to make sure that executors are executing in the direction that we need to be. And also that I'm adding where I need to add. Because if I don't have someone to execute something, we got to figure out like how is this going to get done with the budget, with respect to the budget, of course.
Yeah.
Like we're not spending endlessly where we have a very specific budget. It's not infinite. And we got to accomplish these goals with the budget that we have. And I think that's what I'm really looking for. There's also, of course, there's always efficiency. Are we spending the right things and the right amount in the right places? And are we seeing the ROI and yada, yada, yada. All of that is always happening. We're always looking at that. But I think on the more like people side of things, I think my focus is going to be a lot on people. I think it's also going to be a lot on guiding those people towards, again, like we're pivoting a couple of ships in our army a little bit. So mm-hmm. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah.
And then I do think it's actually a lot of coordination with other leaders. So I think we're going to be working a little bit more with product, I would hope at least.
Yeah.
And also enabling sales. I think those are like the next two big priorities. But I feel pretty good that once we kind of get these ships aligned a little bit better, it's going to feel more in flow. And I'm trying to get us into that like creative space where like we already know what we're doing is accomplishing goals, but now we're accelerating that and ramping it up. And now it feels more like play. And
yeah,
that's what I want to get the marketing team to. And our relationship with product and sales, there's a huge activation opportunity that we have. So I got to work with product on that and get buy-in on that, obviously. And then there's sales. I also want to get sales kind of comfortable working with us on campaigns. And again, that like we should be in a space of it feels like play almost and doesn't feel like this hard thing that is unknown and scary and like we don't know what it is or what it's going to do. So yeah, that's my vision for the next quarter, couple quarters.
Yeah. In 3 to 4 months, we should check in and
yeah, see how it's going again.
Next couple months, yeah.
Oh, if I'm alive then. I'm just kidding. It's a lot of fun. I genuinely wake up every day energized. Like there's the next thing to do. And also so much to coordinate, which I think is good for my brain sometimes. It's nice having a lot of things to kind of dig into.
Yeah. Fun work. Good people, good company.
Totally. Thank you for letting me talk about this.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. This is great.
Cool.